Good morning. I really consider it an honor to be here today because even my own wife doesn't like to listen to my speeches, so if you're paying good money to listen to me, so this is an honor and a privilege. I'm going to quote Monica Dweck from her email to me because she set out the parameters of the questions I should be addressing several months ago. And of course, before that, I should say that Monica worked very hard with me to get my speech ready for today by, kind of chatting with me back and forth. And I want to thank Jubilee Fund as well for... I'm testing my voice as well. So I want to thank Jubilee Fund for the invitation and also for the good work that Jubilee Fund does. So the questions that Monica sent out to me were, I should be discussing what are the struggles of newcomers and immigrants that they face when they come to Manitoba, Canada in general. And how do those struggles tie into living a marginalized life, and such as accreditation transfer? And of course, how society can address those struggles and how Jubilee Fund addresses them through supporting organizations, which I was to research on my own. And what does the future look like in terms of newcomers to this country? So with those questions in mind, I had about a month to work on this and think about it. So here it goes. The Canadian dream. Well, this begs the question to why do people come to Canada? Well, the push and pull factors help to explain that. Push factors are circumstances, situations, or things in an immigrant's country of origin that motivate the immigrant to emigrate from their country to Canada. Some of the kind of push factors are war, lack of jobs, crime, overpopulation, poor living conditions, lack of employment opportunities, and a lack of civil liberties. These push factors contribute to a significantly lower quality of life of the immigrant in their country of habitual residence pre-migration. The pull factors are circumstances, situations, or things in Canada that motivate someone to immigrate to Canada. To briefly summarize, that Canada has got very many pull factors, such as free healthcare, good education, many job opportunities, a democratic government, and a set of rights that are guaranteed in the Canadian Constitution, and not to leave out Canada's multiculturalism and diversity. The identity of Canada as a nation is a result of the combined characteristics of the people who live here. Canadians value freedom, justice, the rule of law, and are a caring, compassionate, hardworking, and generous people. It is the Canadians that are the problem solvers, the solution makers, and the wealth creators. Organizations such as the Jubilee Fund are helping to set up new Canadians for success by creating opportunity for them to reach their greatest potential. Through their generous financial support, Jubilee Fund investors make it possible for the program known as Recognition Counts at Supporting Employment and Economic Development Winnipeg, also known as SEEDS Winnipeg, which helps to assist skilled newcomers to qualify to work in their field of expertise in Manitoba. But after arriving here, there are certain barriers faced by newcomer immigrants when they move to Manitoba. I hope to point out some of those struggles and the barriers and address them here. Economic integration in Canada is one of the most important aspects of an immigrant's social integration. The point system that Canada is currently using allows a high percentage of immigrants to arrive in Canada with high levels of education and professional credentials. This system would suggest that the more favorable human and economic capital immigrants bring to Canada, such as high level of education and rich working experience, the more likely they will have greater labor market success. Not so. However, the actual situation is quite opposite. Most immigrants are unable to find professional jobs that match their education as expected because of devaluation or non-recognition of their foreign credentials. This leads to a prevailing downward occupational mobility among new immigrants. While different gender groups within the new immigrant community experience unique and disproportionate disadvantages, For example, more than 61% of the Chinese immigrants that entered Canada under the category of economic class. However, when it comes to the issue of labor market participation, Chinese immigrants share the same pattern as the general immigrant population in terms of devaluation of foreign credentials, education, job mismatch, and downward occupational mobility. It is suggested that immigrants tend to experience a U-shaped pattern regarding occupational status from the pre-migration jobs in the country of origin to the post-migration jobs in Canada. The problems lie with the immigration system. The Canadian point system misleads immigrants into thinking that because their education and work experience are awarded by the point system, their foreign credentials will be valued in Canada. They feel intense disappointment when they find out their credentials and experience are devalued or not recognized, and that Canadian credentials and experience are required in their given field after they arrived in Canada. A case in point is where 1,180 Chinese professional immigrants were surveyed. The results showed that the major systemic barrier identified by the respondents in the devaluation of non-recognition of their foreign credentials and work experience by professional organizations, government evaluation agencies, and educational institutions. I will return to the topic of foreign credentials again shortly. But the term seduction and abandonment has been used to describe the situation whereby Canada attracts skilled workers and recruits them based on their advanced skills and then leaves them to their own devices in a system that does not recognize their skills, resulting in unmet expectations. Immigrants face a dilemma in the Canadian labor market. On the one hand, the devaluation of foreign credential and work experience that disqualifies immigrants' entry to professional jobs, resulting in zero chance of gaining Canadian experience. On the other hand, the emphasis on Canadian experience as a requirement for professional employment makes it difficult for immigrants to qualify for these jobs. This vicious cycle eventually pushes immigrants into working class jobs and restricts and marginalizes them to ethnic enclaves. Women are equally active participants in migration as their male counterparts. However, women face different circumstances and experiences that are distinct from men, which produces different propensities and outcomes in migrating and in settlement for them. The labor market participation and occupational attainment constitute one significant indicator of immigrant women's social integration. While immigrant women face the same challenges of language barriers, the foreign credential devaluation, lack of Canadian work experience, and the mismatch between credentials and jobs as immigrant men upon their immediate arrival to Canada, they are more likely to be underemployed or unemployed and have less income than their male counterparts, well, than their male partners. Compared to their Canadian-born counterparts, immigrant women are more likely to have completed a university certificate or degree at the bachelor's level or above, but their rate of participation in the labor force is lower than that of immigrant men and Canadian-born women, as it takes a longer time for immigrant women to find jobs and to become labor force participants. They earn less income compared to their Canadian-born counterparts. One way to address this intense disappointment that new immigrants face is to do a needs assessment as a process of identifying the gap between the target population's needs and its services. If a gap exists, a program can be designed to effectively respond to those needs. Many immigrants have expressed great dismay that even after being able to master one barrier to communication in Canada, the English language, there was another barrier that impeded their integration to the receiving society, cross-cultural communication. As a result of this cultural and social barrier, they did not feel a sense of belonging to Canadian society. Social capital is a strong predictor of a sense of community. There is a positive intersection between place-based emotional bonds and a sense of community. psychological and social resources that allow newcomers to retain their ethno-cultural identification curb the risk of depression. One's sense of belonging to the larger community, living in a safe neighborhood, informal and formal social supports, and living in a community that offers opportunities for health, education, and employment for newcomers and their families is a critical aspect of improving a newcomer's experience. Social interactions and supports that are developed in community circles can moderate the stress of immigration. As Canadians, we have to go beyond the us and them paradigm. We must work with the newcomers to understand their perspective and empower them to find their place in society and where they can attain their full potential. Language skills are a priority and a requirement for all immigrants. They can have important implications for their integration and settlement in the receiving society. Now, I'm going to briefly go back to the foreign credentials again, because to me, that is the real issue. In a survey, 70% of newcomers reported difficulties in getting their foreign credentials, such as a diploma or a degree, recognized in Canada, and identified a lack of adequate language proficiency as a major barrier to entering the labor force. Highly trained immigrants who come to Canada with professional qualifications from an educational system that is different from Canada face significant difficulties in finding professional employment. Furthermore, language difficulties and the long and costly accreditation process forces newcomers to take survival jobs to support themselves and their family. In addition, language programs such as English as a Second Language, ESL, and language instruction for new Canadians are not sufficient to foster communication to help newcomers integrate economically or socially. There are long waiting lists for ESL classes due to shortage of funds to support these programs. And this is broadly speaking in Canada. The eligibility criteria for ESL classes restrict a certain class of immigrants, such as Canadian citizens, to attend these classes, and barriers to transportation and childcare pose a problem, especially for women migrants, to participate in ESL programs for that purpose. Such obstacles, underemployment, and other settlement stresses related to immigration, such as being uprooted from their country of origin, loss of friendships, and barriers to healthcare, are a strong risk factor for poor physical health and psychological distress among immigrants. In exploring the unmet healthcare needs of immigrants, language problems, differences in health-seeking behavior across cultural groups, and visible minority status as some of the reasons why health professionals are not responding effectively to the needs of newcomers. In communities where there are inequitable health care services, combined with the immigrants' perceptions that there are many barriers to accessing these services, they are unlikely to seek help for their problems. Housewives who follow their husbands as dependents are at a higher risk of physical and mental health issues, as they are often socially isolated. Healthcare professionals must recognize that there are immigrant-specific barriers to accessing healthcare services, and that there is urgency for culturally and linguistically appropriate healthcare services. Funding dollars and other support could be sought for several programs and services to improve settlement infrastructure, such as, and I'll list 10 of them here, creation and or improvement of bridging programs in employment and education, improve access to current language instruction classes and tailor them to meet the needs of the skilled cohort of newcomers, creation of equality and affordable childcare that is culturally competent, creation of advocacy positions within immigrant serving agencies and or increasing the number of advocacy staff at existing agencies. Support for roundtable with other communities who have a well-established settlement infrastructure. Creating and or increasing education and outreach positions within immigrant settlement services to implement some of the recommendations that can be driven locally. For example, newcomers identify the need for ethnic outreach workers that can visit them at their residence. Creating programs to positively enhance the settlement experiences of immigrant elders. Hiring licensed interpreters. Advocating for services for newcomers with their precarious immigration status. For example, special programs to assist with the settlement of live-in caregivers. Many of them are female. And finally, creation of community-based programs that assist with pre-migration trauma and provide adequate and timely support to newcomers. It would help to ensure the long-term vitality of newcomers and sustainability of the Canadian healthcare system. I really like the question that was posed by Monica in her email, which is, what does the future look like? And on that, I would say that the history of Canada is full of immigrant journeys and making good here in this society. Many of the descendants of the people in this room here today came to Canada within the past 170 years and worked hard to achieve the Canadian dream and intergenerational class mobility. I was very pleased about 2 weeks ago, I think it was a Thursday, I was watching CPAC, Cable Public Affairs Channel, live, and I saw the welcoming of the new 9th Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada as Madam Justice Rosalie Silber-Minabella just retired from the bench. And I was surprised, because I hadn't followed the news, though I should have, I was surprised to see it was one of my professors when I had done my Master's of Law at Osgoode Hall Law School in Health Law and Policy. His name is Mahmoud Jamal. And so he actually taught me, and I knew him once when he wasn't a judge. And his journey, I think, is important to mention here. And I'm kind of honored to have had a one-time personal connection of having learned from him as he was an academic. Justice Jamal represents what the future looks like for an immigrant. Well, Justice Mahmoud Jamal was born in Kenya to parents of Gujarati background from India. For the 1890s, 1900s, the Gujaratis, among other Indians, went to East Africa and worked there. At the age of 17, so Justice Jamal himself, Mahmoud Jamal, was born in Nairobi. At the age of 17, he left with his family and moved to England. And according to his own words, it was 1 hour north of London and lived in a small town. And I was kind of surprised the powerful statement that Justice Jamal, wearing his beautiful Santa Claus colored red robes on formal occasions, 2 weeks ago said. He said, we lived in a small town an hour north of London, and the people in that town treated us like we were the second invaders, or that we were the first invaders since William the Duke of Normandy in 1066. And they made us feel like that every day. And then after a couple of years, Justice Jamal's family moved to Alberta, and in Edmonton, he finished his high school. Well, Justice Jamal comes from a particular faith-based community called the Ismaili community, which is a liberal group of Islam, which is highly persecuted in many Islamist states. And Justice Jamal himself comes from that freedom of religion understanding, you know, personal liberty. His wife, Goleta, and Justice Jamal said this in the Supreme Court, he mentioned all of this in his welcoming, so this is not a secret I'm telling you. His wife, Goleta, is a Baha'i from Iran. Her mother, being a single mother with 5 young children, because they are Baha'is and after the 79 revolution in Iran were being persecuted, they went to Philippines and lived there as refugees and stateless for 10 years until Canada took them in. Now, Goleta is a Baha'i, or as a refugee from Iran via Philippines, accepted in Canada, and she married Justice Mahmoud Jamal when, of course, he was probably not even a lawyer. And he eventually, by voluntary choice, converted to the message of Baha'i faith because, according to his own words, the universal brotherhood of mankind is recognized in that faith. And the Baha'is are a very persecuted religious group. So here's an example of someone who is an immigrant who immigrated to Canada, not under the refugee class, that is Mr. Justice Mahmoud Jamal and his family. And then here is a group of people who did not bring any education or skill, but had their humanity and had their ability to reach their full potential, but hadn't reached because they were still young. And these 5 children with their mother come to Alberta, and she ends up being part of the Supreme Court of Canada family. And they have 2 beautiful children, Darius and Justin, in their mid-teens. So what does the future look like? Well, the newcomers and immigrants that are coming, irrespective of it being on the economic or entrepreneur class, or whether the smaller number, which is a refugee class, because both their children have the potential to achieve greatness, and intergenerational class mobility and upward class mobility is a Canadian dream. And I find it interesting that at the Supreme Court ceremony, Justice Mahmoud Jamal wore the robes of Madam Justice Bertha Wilson. She is the first woman justice of the Supreme Court of Canada in the 1980s. So nearly 40 years later, this is a landmark appointment. First Canadian justice of the Supreme Court of Canada, and there's only seven of them. Nine of them, I apologize. Australia's got seven. Nine. I did my first law degree in Australia. I'm still floating in my head. So there's nine of them, and he's the first person of a non-European background to be on the Supreme Court. And he should be there for 21 years, because that would be his mandatory retirement. And so he wore Madam Justice Bertha Wilson's robe. And in conclusion, my final paragraph, I just jotted down this morning in handwriting. So the future for newcomers to Canada bodes just as well as your present today bodes well. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.